This is The Art Scene from UA Little Rock Public Radio. I'm Daniel Breen. This week, we're talking docs, specifically the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival. The annual festival holds the distinction of being the longest-running all-documentary film festival in the country, showing a vast amount of films since beginning in 1992. This year's festival saw 8 days full of documentaries, panels, and parties. And if you weren't able to make the trip to Spa City last October, we've got just the thing. KUAR reporter, Morning Edition anchor, and self-described film buff Sarah Kellogg spoke to some of the festival's organizers and featured filmmakers. And she joins me now. Sarah Kellogg, welcome.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Great. Well, tell us what you have in store for us today.
Well, lots of documentaries. So I was able to travel to it about the second week in to interview some of the filmmakers and those involved. So unfortunately, with my schedule, I wasn't really able to see any of the films. But from talking to the people involved, it really felt like I was really there and they learned about them. And I'm excited to catch some of them at later days.
That's great.
Absolutely. So I think we need to start with the festival itself. I had a chat with Karina Nagin, who's the festival's incoming executive director, and the festival's programming director, Jesse Fairbanks. They talked a bit about their history with the festival and how to decide which documentaries make the cut. First, we'll hear Nagin and then Fairbanks.
I think my first festival, I was in junior high, and it was part of a school field trip, and we got to come and see a film, and it was the first time that I had ever met a director. They had a Q&A afterwards, and it just sort of opened up my mind to this whole other world. And then this opportunity to be able to come on as the executive director and be an official part of the festival and help it grow to its next stage is just sort of a continuation of my love for films and for the Hot Springs Film Fest.
What are you hoping to evolve the fest into? Do you have, like, what are some goals or things that you would like to achieve?
That's a great question. So, one, I think the festival has an incredible history, longest running all documentary film festival. So we want to continue that history. But I think one of the things that I love about the festival is it continues to evolve and we continue to grow. There's a couple of areas that I'm really looking forward to expanding. One is we have a great reputation in the filmmaking community nationwide as being a festival that's really focused on filmmakers. So we bring in filmmakers from around the world every year. They get a lot out of the festival. We actually, this year is the second year that we launched a filmmaker retreat where we can bring in young filmmakers and help support them. So we're supporting the next generation of filmmakers. So we want to continue to really be focused on the filmmakers and supporting them and growing that community. And the other area I'm really excited to expand is our educational programs. So we bring in school kids to be able to not only see the films, but talk to filmmakers. So that was a really important moment in my life when I was able to do that. And we want to continue to expand that programming so these films can be seen by a wider audience.
What do you kind of look for in a film that would be one you would want to show here?
I think one of the strengths of our programming is that it is very diverse. So, you know, everyone looks for something different in a film, and we have a really diverse audience that is attracted to different things in film. So I think in our programming, one of the things that has made it really strong is we have a wide variety of films. Everything from a film that is enlightening you about a specific issue, to transporting you to a different geography, to speaking some type of human truth that really relates to all of us. But I think the key to any great film, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, is that it opens up a window into another world and really can transport you. And I think that that's sort of the magic of documentary films, is no matter where you're based, it can be in a small town, it can be in a big city, but you can sort of open this magic window to another world. And I think that all of our films do that in one way or another. Growing up, when I was coming to the Documentary Film Festival, documentaries were kind of seen as dry and educational, and there wasn't the excitement. And I've been so thrilled to see over the past few years the attention that documentary filmmaking has gotten and the level that documentary filmmaking has gotten to. And so I just think it's a really exciting time for documentary films, and you see that in the size of our audiences that are coming out. You see it in the young filmmakers who want to go into documentary filmmaking. So I think it's a great time to be working with the Documentary Film Festival.
What do you look for in a film?
Usually story is the first driver. You know, the story, there's so much out there. There's so much noise. So what story is going to cut through that noise and really grab the audience and resonate with them? But it's also important that there's craftsmanship and there's an artistic vision and that there is a style that is something unique and interesting. We're really proud to have a program this year that is 50% female filmmakers. 25% of our filmmakers are filmmakers of color. Those are numbers that we really need to increase. It's a step in the right direction. So I also do keep an eye out for underrepresented filmmakers and for, you know, I love all of the filmmakers that are established and are being very successful in the documentary world, and I value those relationships, but I also keep my ear to the ground for what's coming, and so that's really important to me as well.
What makes the Hot Springs Doc Festival unique in its programming?
Well, I think two things. So I think the first that's unique about it is that we're positioned in a place within the festival circuit that, you know, we get to have the benefit of showing the best of the best that came out of the spring festival circuit, but also we get to pick up stuff that's come out of Telluride, Venice, and Toronto, which kind of kickstarts the festival season and the award season as well. So in terms of placement within the overall calendar, I think that makes us really unique. I would also say the other thing that makes Hot Springs program really unique is the community. It's not necessarily just the films that we put in here, but there's a sense of ownership and pride that Hot Springs has over this festival. And so when they come, they're here to learn, and they're here to absorb, and they're here to celebrate documentary filmmaking, and they really, really dive into the program, and they see so many films. And I think that that makes it really exceptional. When you're working at larger festivals, sometimes people only come and see one or two films, but the wonderful thing about this community is that we can program a thematic strain throughout the program and know that someone will follow that thread all the way through because the audience is so committed, which is just a pleasure and an honor. It's so lovely that everyone here loves the festival so much. I came on board at a time when the festival is at an inflection point. We're ready for growth. It's not necessarily that the festival needs to grow in terms of the amount of days or in terms of the number of films that we screen, but I would like to increase our educational outreach. I would really like to increase the number of panels that we have. We have an incredible amount of filmmakers here, but I would like to have even more filmmakers here because I think having dialogues after a film is something that adds context to an experience and is something that really enriches which is the audience's time here at the festival.
And considering this is a competitive festival, does that factor in your decision-making at all when you're picking films?
No, not at all. I mean, we pick films purely based on merit. Like I said, it's really important that we do include, that we want the film program to be diverse, and we want the festival to be to be a representation of equality in terms of who we have here. But no, we pick films based on merit. So I had a goal to increase the number of female filmmakers this year, but we got lucky. I didn't think we were going to hit 50. You know, we pick the films based on the strongest and the most compelling stories that we can put in front of our audience. And that's a testament to the changes that we're seeing in the industry right now. More and more people are being brave and picking up the camera and telling their stories. And they have a home here at Hot Springs.
So that was Jesse Fairbanks and Karina Nagin, organizers of the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival. Now we'll hear from a few of the filmmakers. We'll start with director Gorman Bichard on his film Pizza, A Love Story.
To me, filmmaking starts with a passion. And I really only do films about subjects that I'm passionate about. My music documentaries, my animal rights documentaries, and as my wife suggested, maybe you should do one about pizza, because in New Haven, me and my producer, Dean Falcone, are probably the two biggest pizza snobs. We are of the belief that there is no other pizza other than these three places. Period. End of story. Don't try to tell me your pizza's good. It's not. And so we started working on this 11 years ago. Because we started realizing one of the pizza places, Pepe's, which is nationally recognized as the best pizza place in the country. I mean, on all the national polls. But that one's really well documented. The other two, Sally's and Modern, were not.
What was the most challenging aspect to film for this movie?
It was at first getting the celebrities, but then once we got a number on, they they would answer us and talk to us and so forth. And even Henry Winkler said, we're never going to get our schedules together. I'm going to send me questions. I'm going to have a friend of mine film it, and I'll send you the video. Which is fine. It's Henry Winkler, you know. The only people that I could never get in the film that I would have killed to have had my other Holy Grail, and it's a local person, Bill and Hillary Clinton. They grew up, they went to Yale, obviously, but they grew up at Sally's. I mean, she had one of the very first fundraisers for Bill's first campaign for president was at Sally's. And when every time he visits New Haven, he goes to Sally's or Pepe's. And there's also a hysterical story in the film about him and Gore being at Yale and wanting to have pizza.
And so you've directed both fiction films mm-hmm. and documentaries, though more documentaries. What are the differences between the two?
I like documentaries, honestly, more, which is why I've really focused on it. One, no actors. Two, you write the script in the editing room. And which I really like, where you have, with actors and fiction, you have a script and you try to get it as close to it as possible, but there's always the script you write, the script you film, and the script you edit, which is a very famous statement, and it is so true. With a documentary, sometimes, until I put that microphone in front of your face, I really don't know what you're going to say and where it's going to lead the film.
What do you hope viewers take away from your film?
Well, from this film, I hope they take away... one, it's a very funny film, I think, but they take away the passion that we have towards the food. And they maybe look and say, hey, next time I'm driving from New York to Boston, I'm going to stop there. Or, you know what, we're looking for a wacky food, a wacky vacation spot. Let's go get the three pizza places, you know, in New Haven.
And you mentioned inserting humor, and I mm-hmm. know when maybe the typical stereotypical documentaries may be considered very serious mm-hmm. or educational, what's the importance of humor in making documentaries funny?
And I'm going to go back to, because I run a film festival in New Haven, and we had Michael Moore as our special guest this year, and I talked to him a lot about this, and the subject we both agree on, it's that sometimes documentaries feel too heavy, and it's like you're beating people over the head, or they're watching a news program. Make it entertaining. And that's just it. It's like if you make people laugh, you make people cry a little bit, and you entertain them, and you educate them, and you get that all wrapped into one thing, they're going to walk away having loved the film. If they're just being bashed over the head with these horrible scenes of whatever for 90 minutes, they're going to go and just need a drink and want to forget about everything they saw.
That was Gorman Bishar, director of Pizza, A Love Story. Now we go from the pizzerias of New Haven to the Louisiana Gulf Coast for the film Mossville, When Great Trees Fall. Here's producer Catherine Ryerson.
The film is, in short, about environmental injustice and environmental racism. But it follows the story of Stacy Ryan, who is a resident of a historic black town outside of Lake Charles, Louisiana, that's been contaminated. The people have been uprooted, displaced, and he's had enough, and he fights to stay on his ancestral land, and it becomes a survival story, basically, as they build up all around him, 14 to 16 petrochemical plants around him. He has to fight to survive in this wasteland.
And so how did you come across this story? How did you find this story?
Well, the filmmaking team, the director, Alex Glustrom, other producers, Katie Matthews, Daniel Bennett, executive producer, Michelle Lanier. Alex's first film that I produced called Big Charity, which released in 2014, were all based in New Orleans. And after the release of that film, an environmental rights lawyer by the name of Monique Hardin, who was fighting for the community for many years before it was completely dismantled, approached Alex after a screening and insisted on bringing him to the community to show him in person what was happening there and to introduce him to Stacy.
And why did you, how did you come to the basically conclusion that this was worth a film?
Well, The situation was just so dire and so unjust, so objectively so, in that people were getting buyout offers little to nothing, being forced off land that had been in their family for hundreds of years, and forced into neighborhoods where they didn't want to be with for very little money, and they weren't given any other recourse. And they were also all suffering from like myriad of health issues. And there were years and years of lawsuits and litigation battles, but people were not given any other alternative but to leave and to be forced to take the little that they were being offered. And so for us, it had to be told. It was happening then, and it needed to be documented.
Why is it important for films like this, so maybe very particularly, you said ones that maybe don't offer hope, ones that are very like, this is a dire situation that we're documenting. Like, why is it important for films like that to exist?
I think a lot of the American public go to film as a source of entertainment and escapism. And I have a background in journalism, and no matter how sad or difficult a story is to watch or bear witness to, I think the most important and valid reason to tell stories is that purely for documenting things. And people need to be aware of what's happening around them. This isn't a source of entertainment. This is not a source of escapism, this film. It takes a really hard look at things and forces you to look at things that you otherwise would turn your head to or are willfully or unwillfully blind to. I just think it's important for people to be aware.
Catherine Ryerson produced the film Mossville, When Great Trees Fall, which screened at this year's Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival. I'm Sarah Kellogg with KUAR News, and if you're joining us, we're listening back to some of my interviews with the festival's organizers and filmmakers. Up next, we're going to hear from Marlene Vignayo, who directed the film Kashada, The Opportunity.
First time I went to El Salvador was in 2010. I went there as a volunteer for an NGO, and the NGO worked with the children of the women who works on the markets. So I met the characters of my film on that moment. And 3 years later, I moved to El Salvador to live there, and I live there now until then. So I met with them again, and on that moment they have formed this theater company, and I was so amazing because they were so different women than the women I met. So they told me that they were preparing a play about motherhood and about their own stories. And I asked them if I could make a documentary film about that. And they said that's okay, because we were friends. So I was making some promotional video for them before the documentary. So when I asked them if I could do a documentary film, they trust in me already. So they say, yeah, and we do it.
And what were some of the challenges to making this film?
One of the challenges was that at the beginning I was alone because I didn't have money. I was working on an advertisement, and I quit my job to start filming because I knew that a lot of interesting things were happening during the rehearsal. So I thought I need to shoot it now, because if not, I will lose it. So I start by myself with a very old camera. And I start filming all the rehearsals for 1 year and a half without any money. So I think it was the most challenging thing doing this film.
How did you decide what to include and what to not include over what must have been hundreds of hours of footage?
At the beginning, I wanted to make a documentary about these women who was a street vendors, and now they want to become a theater actresses. But when I start shooting all the rehearsals, I realized that there were more important things that was happening during the rehearsals, because when they told their stories, all of them had stories of violence. So I thought that it was very important to have it in the documentary film. And also during the rehearsal process, I realized that they were transforming themselves, because the theater works as a therapy for them. So I stopped in one point to think about, okay, what's the most important thing that this documentary must show? And for me it was like the transformation they live during all the process, no? And the transformation with the relationship they had with their children. So when we were in the editing room, we focus on that.
So that was Marlene Vignaio, director of the film Cachada, The Opportunity. And something really cool about that film is that actually it won the Audience Award at South by Southwest, so it was already an award-winning film by the time it made it to Hot Springs.
Now, the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival, that's kind of like a maybe a preview or like an incubator for films that'll probably go on to win a bunch of other awards, maybe an Oscar, right?
Yeah, especially when you're looking into the shorts category. So this festival is Oscar accredited when it comes to the shorts. And according to Jennifer Gerber, who was the former executive director of the festival, several of the films that did win awards at the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival did go on to win an Oscar when it came to the shorts quality. And when it comes to the larger documentaries, yeah, there are some bigger films that maybe have already played at other festivals or some that are premiering that you might see some Oscar buzz later in the year.
All right, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Well, we're nearing the end of our series of interviews here. What do you have in store for us now?
Yeah, absolutely. So finally, we'll hear from director Molly Stewart about her film Objector. Joining us for the interview is producer Amitai Ben-Abba and Natalia Ben-Abba, who is the subject of the film itself. So that was a really great opportunity to talk to all three and looking at the different perspectives when it comes to a film. So not only is it the director, there are the producers and then the person itself in the movie. So I think that was a really great way to learn more about documentaries themselves.
All right, let's play the tape.
How did you discover this story?
So I went to college with Amitai, Atalia's brother, and the producer and writer of this film. And I went to visit in 2013 to Jerusalem to learn about the situation and also the groups doing activism in the West Bank. And I got to know Atalia there as well. And at the time, she was in high school and expecting probably to enlist as a combat soldier. And I stayed in touch with the family. And when Amitai called me and told me that his sister was going to be actually making a very different decision and taking a huge step to have a political voice and make a change in her society, I felt like it was something that we needed to document. And so I flew over with a small camera, and we collaborated on this film.
So what were the challenges of extending this film from the original length to something, to a feature-length film?
Right, so the short focused on the story of Atalia's imprisonment, kind of leading up to her imprisonment, and from the point at which the decision to refuse has already been made. Whereas the feature, well, we needed to think about how can we find a narrative that will sustain the story for a feature-length film. Ours is 75 minutes. While also keeping in mind the urgency and of the political situation and sort of our mission. So we So we chose to focus on like character transformations, and so we show how Atelier making the decision, going into prison and coming out of prison, not only transforms her own life and like shows her own coming of age, but also the transformation of our family and Atelier's friends group and and her community and the people around her.
Why did you agree to be filmed?
Wow. I think it was like this sense of responsibility, because I felt like the whole idea of becoming a conscientious objector is getting my voice heard and getting like this and saying this very clear, very strong statement of I won't take part in the occupation. No one should take part in the occupation. We should not be an occupying country. So having this amazing platform to get that voice heard is something that I felt was very important. And so for me, being a part of this film is like continuing to, you know, to spread this message and get more people aware. Yeah, so it felt like it was something I have to do in a way.
That was KYR News anchor and reporter Sarah Kellogg speaking with Atelier Ben Abba, the subject of the film Objector. She spoke alongside her brother, producer Amitai Ben Abba, and the film's director, Molly Stewart. Sarah, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Any chance I get to talk about movies is time well spent.
It's always a pleasure for us. And you can find more info about the annual Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival online at hsdfi.org. You can also hear an extended interview Sarah did with the festival's former executive director online at kuar.org.
And that concludes the program for this week. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.